Back in 1985, I decided I wanted to leave the United States. And there were a number of reasons that I wanted to immigrate to Australia. Some were political. Ronald Reagan was in his second term of being president of the United States, and I didn't vote for him. That was one of the reasons. And I was a single woman, and I didn't feel safe in the San Francisco Bay Area anymore, to the point where I had actually taken a special course that was offered through the police so that I could carry mace. So that kind of gives you the, you know, a good sense of how unsafe I felt in the States. Okay, so shortly after making a decision that I wanted to immigrate to Australia, and I gave myself a year to plan it and make it happen, I meet a fisherman from Stewart Island. And we got on really well, and there was a romance. And so I just decided I would change my plans ever so slightly, and I would stay 3 months on Stewart Island, and then I would go off to Australia to my new life that I was going to make for myself. So I'd been on the island for about 3 weeks. Romance was going really well, struggling a little bit with the island because people were, there wasn't much nightlife. There was about 350 people, you know, who were living on the island at the time, and I was kind of struggling finding someone or some people to relate to, and I think people were finding it difficult, with me as well, that I was a bit of a challenge of somebody to be interested in or to relate to. So that was hard. I was missing my friends. So one day, regular journey to the post office, there was a poster on the window of the post office, and it said, it was advertising a do at the town hall. And this was a big deal because the band was coming over from Invercargill. And that really didn't happen very often. And on this poster, I have to just mention this bit of the story. On the poster, it was women a plate and men a crate. And I had, of course, not heard this term before, but I worked it out in my head. Women bring an empty plate so that there's something to put the food on that was going to be served. They were serving food, but they didn't have plates. And the crate, now these were, I knew, a crate with a wooden box, and you turn it upside down, and it makes a perfect seat. Or you could stack a few and put your plate on top, and you could eat from it. Fortunately, I was, told to put some food on the plate before I took it. All right, so the night of the do happens. It's a Saturday night, and we were staying in a house right in the center of town that was at that time called the former nurse's crib. And to get to the town hall, it was very simple. We went out the back door, over like a really short little backyard fence, past a good-sized mountain of rusting car parts, through an alley. And one of the walls formed by the alley was the town hall. So through the alley, around the corner, you're in the town hall. 2 o'clock in the morning, us finished. It was a good party, lots of dancing, but I'd had enough. So I found the people that I had gone with, told them that I was heading back home, went out onto the porch, and I need to mention here, in 1986 on Stewart Island, there was not a community electrical scheme. So all of the lights that were on were run by personal generators. And at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night on Stewart Island, there was really only one generator that was running, and that was at the town hall. So when I walked out on the porch, there was this bright, bright naked light bulb that just kind of blinded me. So when I stepped off the porch and went around the corner to go through the alley, I couldn't see anything. I put my hand up to kind of, you know, find the wall. And I looked up, and I could see the ends of two cigarettes, the glow of the ends of two cigarettes. And they were kind of high up. And so immediately it was two men in this dark alley. And I went, like this. And they went, just like me. And then we laughed. We laughed. And I'm overwhelmed with this feeling of being a single woman, middle of the night, dark, pitch black alley, two strange men, and we scared each other. And we were laughing about it. And there was just this big crack that happened in me where I felt so liberated by this surge of how safe I felt there. It was that moment when I thought, I can do this. I can do this. I can live here. I ended up staying on Stewart Island for 6.5 years. Now, a little addendum. This is really important. When we left Stewart Island, we moved to Tapawera, and we lived in the village of Tapawera. I know, it's kind of perfect, isn't it? We didn't stay there very long. I didn't unpack all the boxes. And so I'm in the house, and I am unpacking boxes, and this really lovely woman came into the house to greet me and to welcome me to the neighborhood. And the first thing I said to her, do I need to close the windows tonight and lock the doors? There was a pause, and she looked at me, kind of a sad look. I read it, you know, as kind of a sad look, and she said, yes, you do. And I just thought to myself, I'm back. You know, here we go again. So, yeah, that's my crossroads that brought me to New Zealand.